boldly approach the throne into the Holy of Holies. Thank you so much, Bob. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Exodus. Easy to find. It's the second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter number 17. While you're finding that, we've been studying the names of God, and it is important. It is a vital thing. I believe it's helpful for Christians to know the names that God has given to himself and recorded in his precious word for us. It tells about who he is. And so as we learn more about his character and through his names, then it helps us in our trust of him. We've looked at the name of Jehovah, the self-existent God. I am that I am. And then Elohim, the almighty creator God. And El Elyon, the most high God. El Elyon, he is the sovereign God. And he rules supreme. El Shaddai, God is sufficient. We looked at this last time. And Adonai, Master and Lord. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Now tonight, let's look please at Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. The Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses, do you see the picture now? Down in the valley is the battle going on. Up on the hill, Moses is up there. He's taking the rod of God, holding it in his hand. And by the way, this is not a shepherd's staff. This is the rod of God. Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember that? Well, the staff was what was used to help bring the sheep back in and nudge them and things. The rod was to smack them. And so he took the rod of God. The rod of God. And the Bible says in verse number 11, it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now get the picture here. Could you imagine if you're down in the valley and you're fighting and you see Moses and he's there and it's like a silhouette. Maybe the sun's behind him and all you can see is the silhouette of him. And he's praying to God and asking God for the victory. And so they're fighting and going, and they catch a little glimpse, and he's still there, and things are going badly, and they're looking, and his arms are coming down. No! No! Now, we have a banner over here. It's called the flag of the United States of America, Old Glory. And I'll tell you what, folks, my heart still skips a beat. I'm thankful for the joy that floods my soul, the love in my throat. When we sing the Star Spangled Banner and we see the flag unfurled, I'm an American, folks, and I thank God to be an American. And it's where God placed me. You got to be thankful where God placed you. OK. And I didn't choose this nation. I'm thankful that God brought me here. But many people chose to come to this nation. And they chose this. And so, folks, I don't apologize for being patriotic. But over here on this side, we have another banner. It's called the Christian flag. And on that banner, if we unfurled it, you'd see the cross there in that blue section there. You'd see the cross representing the blood of Jesus Christ and his love for us. Well, folks, this served as a banner for them as they're fighting and as he's praying and asking God for the victory. Verse 13 says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek. Boy, the Bible always takes the high road when it describes things. They licked him good, okay? Discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord had sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Jehovah Nissi. And that is Hebrew for the Lord is our banner. The Lord is our banner. As I mentioned before, sometimes in battle even at 9/11, there at Ground Zero, when they took an American flag in the midst of the rubble and you saw that American flag hanging there, boy, it just, you know, the Lord is our banner. I'm thankful for the banner of the cross. The Bible says in Isaiah 13, verse 2, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. What's it saying? Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Let everyone know. Wave the hand. Shake the hand. Let folks know. Point people to the way of salvation. Lift up the banner. Thou hast given, Psalm 60, verse 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You remember singing that chorus? I don't know if we've sung it here recently or not, but the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, comes from that. He led me to a banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Remember that little chorus and things? Comes right from Scripture. His banner over us. His banner over us. We sang just a little bit ago. We sang a song that talked about the banner of the Lord. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Savior die? His banner over us is love. His sword, the word of God. Faith is the victory. You know, I was looking at some of these songs and I ran across this. Some dear lady that believes that I'm sure that she's a very smart person. Let's see. What's her name? Jennifer Waddle. Jennifer Waddle. She listed 10 hymns that should be put to rest. 10 hymns that should be put to rest. And I don't know this Miss Waddle. I don't know her. But faith is the victory is one that she said should be put to rest. She said, alas, and did my Savior bleed, should be put to rest. Onward, Christian soldiers, Beulah Land, and more. And I'm just wondering, one of the ones was bringing in the sheaves. She said, what is sheaves? You know, why do we sing that? And then she, to her benefit and her credit, she went so far as to say, then I did some research. And I came to Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And she said, huh, that's in the Bible. It was even in her version that she used. It was the same word, sheaves. And it was just an interesting thing. But folks, there are things that God gives to us to encourage us and his banner over us. The Lord is our banner. Here's how it helps me. As I see the flag of the United States of America, as I see the Florida flag, as I see the Jewish flag, as I see the Christian flag, when you see that flag, it speaks to you. My friend, when we think of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, it should charge our hearts that he loved us. We sang about it just a little bit ago, that he loved us so much that we should love him in return. And if you'll turn quickly, please, with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. I'm just kind of giving you the high points. I know you didn't think I could do that. Judges chapter 6, and for the sake of time, we'll kind of skip around in this chapter. Verse 1, the Bible says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Look this way, please. God knows how to get our attention. He did it with Israel over and over again. Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? It seems like that everybody's against me. It seems like all these people are attacking me. Wait a minute. Is it perhaps that God has taken his protective hand off of us and says, Satan, go ahead. And he watches and makes sure that Satan doesn't cross the lines that God gave to him. But he says, go ahead. Go ahead. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They were hiding from their enemy. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, and they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Okay, so they took all their food. It's like they went into the grocery stores and they wiped out every shelf. They came to the people's homes and they took it out of their cupboards and anything that they had, and they were starving them to death. That's pretty horrible. This is exactly what happened. Verse 7 says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. There came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So you get the picture here. He's threshing wheat. He has to do that to get the hull off of the wheat so he can take the wheat and then grind the wheat, turn into flour, and make bread to eat, to live, to survive. And he's doing this in secret. Verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Who are you talking to? Where is he? Oh, please, where is he? Me? "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us? Da, 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 da. Verse 14. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord," capital L, smaller capital O-R-D, Jehovah. And the Lord, we already discovered that's termed here in our Bible. "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me." Now, pause here just a moment. Understand that here's a guy that he's talking to an angel. And he says, I'm from the lowest tribe. I'm from the tribe of Manasseh. And of the tribe of Manasseh, my family is last. I mean, I'm a nobody. I'm the end. I'm the caboose of the train. And you're calling me a mighty man of valor? And you want me to lead an attack against the Midianites? And they're overwhelming? You got to give me something. You know, we should not live by signs. We should not live by sight. We should live by faith. But I'm going to give him some things here because, you see, he didn't have the scriptures. He didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have a lot of things that we so richly enjoy. So he just wanted some confirmation. Now, sometimes that's not out of line. But don't put God to the test for that all the time. That's not always necessary. In this case, God gave him. And he said, verse 18, "Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee." And he said, "I will tarry until thou come again." So he said, wait a minute, I'm going to go get my sacrifice. Stay right here. Please, don't leave. Gideon went in and made ready a kid. That's a goat. Not a child. "And an unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, the flesh be put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot and brought it unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff and that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. He was afraid for his life. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet an Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. It's more than just the thought that the Lord gives peace. If you have the Lord, you have peace. He's called the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So I'm so thankful. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of the trials, please run to Jesus Christ. Run to your Heavenly Father. He is a strong tower. And you'll find as you study the book of Judges, and most of you know your scriptures and you know this about Gideon and how God blessed and used Gideon and narrowed it down to where he only had 300 men, started with 30,000 and went to 300 men going up against tens of thousands of Midianites. And God gave the victory and they fought each other, Midianites did. And God gave deliverance to Israel because Israel repented. Today, in our daily lives, let me remind you of something. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So if we have the Lord as our focal point, if we have the Lord as our target, if we have the Lord following him, trying to be in time with him, obeying his will, if we will do that, then we'll be in peace one with another. It's when we start trying to do our own thing in our own way, we get cattywampus with one another because we're not in fellowship and in harmony with the Lord. Jehovah Shalom. God the Lord is peace. You'll hear that a lot, you know. Shalom. Peace be unto you. Shalom. But there's more than just a greeting. It is who Jesus is. He brings peace. So I ask you today, who do you run to when you have the storms of life raging on you? Who do you turn to? Who is it you want to call? Make sure you don't turn to God last. Turn to him first. Bring it to him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your precious word. Help us now to run to you with a heart of dependence and faith. Lord, Satan trembles at the weakest Christian when we are on our knees. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to be faithfully following you. You are our banner. You are the one that encourages us. You are the one who intercedes on our behalf. On the right hand of the Father, you are interceding. When Stephen was stoned, you stood up and you welcomed him. You are our banner. And Lord, I thank you that you are our peace. So Lord, may we go in that strength, in that confidence, in that assurance. That you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not sure exactly how the Lord would direct in this invitation. But would you search your own heart? And would you ask God, who is your peace, would you ask him to reign supreme over your problem? Whatever it may be, would you invite him to take charge? He did it through Moses with the fighting of the Amalekites. He did it through Gideon with the fighting of the Midianites. And both of them were overwhelmingly outgunned. But yet, God gave great victory miraculously. He's not out of miracles, folks. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to follow you and trust you. May we find your victory. We're not going to sing, but if you'd stand, please. And if Kayla, if you just play. If God's moved upon your heart and you want to come and pray to him tonight, I invite you to come right now. This is your chance. It's not a time to delay. You come to him. Bring your need. Bring your burden. He will not cast you away. Jesus, Jesus, pass me not, O gentle Savior. While we wait just a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you so very much for how you've revealed yourself unto us. May we live accordingly, I pray, and we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.